This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm in the hospital to make a prayer for my mother-in-law. She had a heart attack and stroke yesterday. Her name is Rabia Khatun.
الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, the Quran describes for us what happened, or the events and the news of the Jews of Banu Nadir. They were a tribe that lived in Medina at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And upon escaping, as you may have read of the incident of Bi'r Ma'una, in which over 70 Sahaba were murdered, of the most knowledgeable Sahaba were murdered, one of those Sahabis, Amr ibn Umayyah al-Dhamri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he escaped. And as he was passing and returning back to Medina after the slaughter that had happened, he met two people from Bani Amir. And he instigated a fight with them and he killed them. And Bani Amir had a treaty with the Prophet ﷺ that they would not fight each other. And for that the Prophet ﷺ said that by Allah I will pay their blood money. And so Banu Nadir in Medina, the Jews of Banu Nadir were... because of their treaty with the Prophet ﷺ, he went to them to seek their aid in paying for the blood money of these two men that were killed. And so when the Prophet ﷺ had traveled to their area on the outskirts of Medina, and they said, we agree and we shall help you, O Abu al-Qasim. They immediately said amongst themselves, and there was only a few companions amongst whom were Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that with those few companions there, they said amongst themselves that you'll never find this man in a more ideal situation to kill him. And so they immediately plotted the assassination of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there with his companions waiting for them to come back with their news, they climbed the wall that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting upon. And with a big boulder in their hands, they prepared to throw it down and crush the blessed head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as they would say, that we would relax and we wouldn't have any trouble from him and from his followers. But the one factor that they didn't put in mind was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was not to allow any Jew to assassinate him. And so Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what their plot was. And without saying anything to the companions that were sitting there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and walked away. And he kept walking and walking all the way back to Medina. Until the companions, they saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was delaying upon them, they also stood up. And the Jews on the roof, they were waiting there, and they realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not coming back. And as they returned, the companions, they saw an entire army of believers coming, and a war was to ensue with Banu Nadir because of this incident. Banu Nadir then put themselves in their fortress and they closed down the doors until finally, and there was a standoff. The Jews of Banu Nadir, who wouldn't surrender, and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the warriors standing on the outside of their fortress, and they had the strongest fortresses. So much so that they could go on for months and months and not have to come out of their fortress. And they could maintain their protection from within. But there was one weapon that they didn't know about, and this was the fear and the terror that the Prophet ﷺ struck in the hearts of his enemies. As the Prophet ﷺ said, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ, that I was given the power or the weapon of terror in the hearts of my enemies. And so from within their castles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qadhafa, threw terror into their hearts, and they surrendered to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam expelled them from Medina. And some of them went to Khaybar, and some of them went to Ard al-Mahshar. But they were expelled from Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them the chance to take whatever they could carry on the camel's backs and to leave everything else. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Surah Al-Hashr, the story of Banu Nadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that whatever is in the heavens and the earth exalts Allah, and He is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, and He is the Exalted in Might, the Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing that everything in this universe exalts Him. Whether it's in the sky or in the land or in the sea, everything exalts Him. As in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, that there's not a single thing that doesn't praise Allah and that doesn't pray to Allah and that doesn't exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, but you do not understand the way that they do their tasbih. And as Al-Mufassir Al-Tahir ibn Ashur rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that it's as if the ayat is alluding that because Banu Nadir didn't do their tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, that what happened to them because of their arrogance in their tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their arrogance in not following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though they knew him to be true, even though as they would recognize their own son, they recognized the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but regardless of that, they still disbelieved in him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. الْعَزِيزُ, the one exalted in might, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone thinks of someone exalted in power, they may think that even though that person may have power, they may not be smart in the way that they use that power. And we've seen so many times people who have power but transgress with that power that they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, the wise. And so you may also see people who are wise but don't have power. They may be smart people and intelligent, but they're poor and humiliated, and they have no power because even though they may have their intelligence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, is Al-Aziz, who has power to do anything. Al-Hakim, wise, all wise in what He decrees, in His qadr, and what He legislates to the human beings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, هُوَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ لِأَوَّلِ الْحَشْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is He, هُوَ الَّذِي, it is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that expelled the ones who disbelieved from Ahl al-Kitab, meaning the Jews of Bani Nadir, لأول الحشر. And in fact, Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, when someone would say Surah Al-Hashr, he would say, قُلْ سُورَةَ بَنِي نَذِيرَ, he would say the Surah of the Jews of Banu Nadir, because of all the ayat that speak about them in this verse. هُوَ الَّذِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding everyone that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His power and His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala that expelled the Jews, expelled those who disbelieved from Ahl al-Kitab to the first gathering, Al-Hashr. And indeed, when it comes to battle, so many people think that it's because of the power of the army or the might of the army. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. And we hear it so many times, this statement, but it is the motto of any battle that the Muslims enter into. Umar radiallahu anhu said that we are a people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us izz. He granted us a status and a highly status above the people because of our Islam. فَإِن نَحْنُ ابْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّ بِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهِ. That if we try to seek this high lofty position, this izzah, with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when other than the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will humiliate us. Allah will humiliate us. And so sometimes people may go to their battles thinking that they have a lot of Muslims on their side and that they're strong and they're prepared for the battle. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the battle of Hunayn, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. And on the day of Hunayn, when your numbers pleased you, that you were happy. As some people said that day, that today we will not lose because of lack of numbers. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And it availed you in no way in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Bani Nadir, speaks about how the two parties were thinking. Because the Muslims were in the standoff on the outside of the fortress for 6 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the believers were thinking and what the Jews were thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it's as if it's a reflection of these days today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَن يَخْرُجُوا وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَن يَخْرُجُوا. That you, O believers, never thought that they would leave. You never thought that they would leave the land. You never thought you would be granted victory. مَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَن يَخْرُجُوا. And they, the Jews, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And the Jews thought that their fortress and their army, and they had fortresses. They had, in fact, 6 layers of fortress. That even if you fought the outside layer and you got inside the courtyard, you had another 5 more layers to fight. And then you would be caught inside the layers. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And they thought that their fortresses would save them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they would be protected from anyone, including Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I remember once, and this is a long time ago, maybe 15 years ago, that a khatib once stood up in our masjid, and he began by saying, let's face it brothers, we've lost the Quds. Let's just admit it. And he started like that, and from that time, it didn't sit well in my heart, that he would say something like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for verily we have never lost the Quds. And these places that are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masajid, and of these masajid, it's one of the most holiest masjids, Al-Aqsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow this land of prophets to be in the hands of the people who killed the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, وعد الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That those who believe and do the good deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that He would surely grant them succession to authority in the land. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has promised those who have believed among you and done righteous deeds that He will surely grant them succession to authority upon earth, just as He granted it to those before them, and that He will surely establish to them therein the religion which He has preferred for them, and that He will surely substitute for them after their fear, that He will substitute, subhanahu wa ta'ala, security. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the characteristics of these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this to. يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. That they worship me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone, and do not do shirk, and do not do associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. And some people think that these events will be resolved with treaties. That they'll be resolved with treaties. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, everything that you see in the news, it's there in the Quran and it's happened before. You'll see stories of rocks and the rock has become such a big characteristic of the whole conflict. And there you'll see when the Prophet ﷺ said, the day when the rock will speak. And here you'll see that they're always wanting to make covenant with the Jews. They want to make treaties, but another word for it is covenant or ahd with the Jews. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why is it that every time they make promises and make a covenant and make a peace treaty, نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, that a group of them breaks their promise, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that rather the majority of them are faithless. The majority of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say everyone, but the majority of them are faithless. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after they thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could never get to them because of their fortress, and the believers thought that they could never win over these Jews, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came upon them from a direction that they had never expected. And you'll see that, you see all the think tanks that they have. And if you go through how they do these think tanks, they think of every possible scenario that could happen. And then they say that if this scenario happens, then this, and this is our is what we should do. And if this happens, then this, and this. And they make a complete chart of expectations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا, that with all this planning and with all this thinking, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hit them from where they hadn't even expected it. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. And this word قَذَفَ, al-qadf, is something, and subhanAllah, as you read in the tafsir, that the word qadafa is like something like taking a rock, and it's described like this. Qadafa is like to take a rock and whip it at someone and strike them with it. And it gives the impression that this person had no preparation for the strike that he was about to be hit with. That when he's struck with this rock, and we can say like a Palestinian rock that this person is struck with, it's as if they had no previous fear of this rock. They had no preparation of fear that was going to hit them. وَقَذَفَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He struck them in their hearts with terror and fear of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it just happened like that. Whipped with this fear, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ, that I was given power and help with the terror that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes in the hearts of the enemies. But this is when the believers come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they have rightly guided leaders, and they prepare properly, and they have a proper plan, and they move forward like this, this is when the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them where they didn't come, no matter what, well, no matter what boundary or whatever you're protected with or any armor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck them in the heart. And you'll see when people go out for battle, if they go to Vietnam or they go this place or that, the one thing that they're worried about is the psychology of the soldiers. Because once they're struck from the inside, nobody can change that. Once the Vietnamese don't have fear of the Americans anymore, the Americans cannot win. And you'll see in Russia, when the Russians try to hit the Afghanis, once the Muslims didn't have fear of them, they couldn't win. And once the believers put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did not fear them and only feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when the kuffar have lost. When they lose that fear factor. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O overturner of hearts. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can take their heart and flip it upside down. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they destroyed their houses with their own hands and the hands of the believers. in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reflecting, or the verse is showing that when the Jews of Banu Nadir, when they were told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they could take anything that they could carry on their camels, they would have beautiful wooden doors. And they started destroying those doors with their own hands. Because they didn't want the Muslims and the believers to take this after them, they started destroying it with their own hands. So they would take their pots and smash it. They would take their doors and cut it up. And they would destroy everything that they could get their hands on. But subhanAllah, in this is the humiliation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon them, that with their own hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And so when the believers come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the destruction of the kuffar could be only as close as their own hands. They themselves can bring destruction upon themselves when the believers turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the end of this, to take heed and take warning and take lesson from this. And it's as if, in this term, it's about encouraging a person to study the events that happened, to see what had happened, to see what were the causes of what had happened, and to see the results of this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to those people who should be focusing on these verses and what happened to the people before, Ya ulil absar, O people of vision, O people of vision. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were the witnesses that saw what happened to Bani Nadir. There were the witnesses who saw their land. And every time you go to Medina and you see these places, you witness what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to these people because of the way that they turned their backs on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surely capable of raising the mu'mineen in ranks, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surely capable of granting victory to the truth over the batil. And may we take this lesson, Surah Al-Hashr, or as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Surah Bani Nadir, may we take it to our hearts, and may we be one of those people of absar, of vision. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, there's so much to say about this topic of Palestine and what's happening over there. And subhanAllah, when you try looking for solutions to the problem and you ask this person and that person, you may not find too many solutions out there. And subhanAllah, in searching and searching for the solution, it just hit me that the only solution, and you'll see people, even when we do this or do that, you may feel that there's no help except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where the true help comes from, when people come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when people come back to their deen, and people start learning the deen and become people of absar, people of vision, and start practicing worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant victory, even if it be at the own hands of the enemy. And so I wanted to tell you, or just mention, a poem that a sister had written, the sister Suhaila Nabulsi, who lives here in Washington, D.C. And she wrote this poem after a human rights activist was stationed in Palestine. And on this little village that he was stationed, he made friends with a little boy named Ayman. And as nothing was happening, and he was there for a few days, nothing had happened, the Jews had told him to kindly leave. They said nothing was going to happen, you might as well leave tonight. And he said, no, let me spend the night here. And this is the true account of what this person had seen. It begins, Ayman's neighbors often exclaimed that by no one else on earth was the village where Ayman lived ever seen, that it was so far out that no one could see it. But Ayman knew better. As he once swayed in her arms, his head pressed against her bosom of embroidered fabric, Ayman's wise, sweet grandmother had told him that Allah always watched the village. She told him never to seek the aid of anyone except Allah. And Ayman obeyed. One day Ayman passed an elderly man who sat on the dusty curb, weeping hysterically, raising his hand to the sky, questioning, why Allah, why? Ayman kneeled to the ground, the rocky earth piercing into the thin skin of his ankles. He slowly brought down the man's hands, dusted by the man's sorrow as he pressed against his sweaty palms, the despair of years of hard work, stolen land, and today the loss of his last son shot to the ground without mercy. Ayman squeezed the man's hand and he calmly said, La ya ammi. He said, No, my uncle. He reminded the man to never question the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, the enemy decides to give Ayman's village a surprise. 2 a.m., Ayman awakens to the sounds of bullets and missiles. Ignoring his grandmother's cries to seek refuge, Ayman runs out to the street as crowded as day. Deafened to the high-pitched voices of screaming women and blinded to the bloodshed of the crossfire that even splashes across his own body, Ayman runs for his childhood friends, who he spots forming a human shield in front of a line of Israeli soldiers. Without even the defensive stones in their hands, Ayman and his friends punch their right fists into the brightly starred sky and shout, Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! These are the words that are stronger than any bullets and any missiles. Allahu Akbar. These are the words that will free Ayman and free his homeland. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina aminu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.